Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Fijn dat u en dat jij op deze vroege zondagmorgen kijkt. En je bent niet alleen, want wereldwijd stemmen er vandaag zo'n 40 miljoen kijkers af op Hour of Power. Ik was onlangs in Indonesië en ook daar is in dat grootste moslimland ter wereld Hour of Power te zien. Maar ook in Latijns-Amerika, in Afrika en natuurlijk ook in Nederland. En we zijn blij nogmaals dat u en dat jij kijkt. Een hele goede en gezegende uitzending toegewenst.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, welcome to the Hour of Power with Robert Schuller, celebrating our 33rd year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Good morning, and welcome to the Crystal Cathedral. Well, this is the day that God has made. We will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, you are alive today. You have brought us to this place because you have a purpose for every single soul here. And so as we're bound together with your presence and your Holy Spirit, may we realize that through the ashes come the roses of success. That through the shattered dreams comes new hope and new vitality and new strength and renewed dreams. Now we love you, Lord, and we praise your name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, the words are from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts far off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You protect me behind and before and laid your hand on me.
Your knowledge is too wonderful to me. It is high. I cannot comprehend it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Why? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. How precious also are your thoughts of me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, then lead me in the way everlasting. May God bless these words, written almost 2,500 years ago. Hallelujah. Amen. Nita Whitaker, National Treasure. I love your music, of course. This morning, listen to these words as she sings them. Shattered, but I'm not broken. Wounded, but time will heal. Heavy the load, the cross I bear. Lonely the road I trod, I dare. Shaken, but here I stand. Weary, still I press on. Long are the nights, the tears I cry. Dark are the days, no sun in the sky. Yet still I will rise, never to give up, never to give in. Against all odds, yet still I rise, high above the clouds. At times I feel low, yet still I will rise. Sing it for us.
Still I don't know what's just for loving me. Many times I do forget every need that you have met. Oh, thank you, Lord. I know you're showing me. You are there when I am down and out. You're holding me. Your love is so amazing. Oh, it changed me. So here I am with all I have. I raise my hands to worship you. I wanna say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you for everything, for who you are.
The Catinas, five brothers that blend their voices to create a unique and a wonderful sound. They have one Dove Award, two ASCAP Awards, and four number one hit radio hits. They've shared the stage with singers Quincy Jones, Kenny Rogers. They've appeared on national television events, including Monday Night Football. They have sung before a Knicks game at the Garden. But most importantly of all, high above all those things, they have a tremendous faith in Jesus Christ that shines in all they do and in everything they sing. Would you introduce yourselves to us?
I'm Sam.
I'm John.
Morning, I'm Jesse.
I'm John's twin, I'm James.
And I'm Joe.
When you say twins, you mean physical twins. Yeah, you're born at the exact same time, huh? Yeah. Wow, how many Katinas are there?
There are 12 Katinas. 8 boys and 4 girls.
So where are the rest of them here?
The rest, all of our sisters are back in American Samoa with our dad there, and we have an older brother in Hawaii who is also a pastor.
Oh, terrific. Yes. Wow. So you've lived in Samoa then for a while? Yes, all your lives? Were you born and raised there? Tell us how that works.
Actually, 4 of us on stage, we were born in Oceanside, about 45 minutes from here.
the goal for leaving the islands is you either get a scholarship to play football or to join the military. And our dad joined the Marine Corps, so we were born in Camp Pendleton.
Oh, very good.
Sam was born in Bremerton, Washington. And so, but we grew up back in the islands in American Samoa.
How does the America Samoas compared with the America San Diego?
Well, for a small island, we eat more than people here in San Diego or in Los Angeles. But a very family-oriented island, and people are just very warm and generous.
Is it... Is it a place that I should come and visit?
Oh, yeah. If you visit there, just look in the small phone book for Katina and call our dad and tell him that what we invited you to his house, and he'll have you.
He'll take care of me, huh? That's terrific. So I understand that your mother actually passed away when you were young, didn't she?
Yes, our mother passed away actually 13 years ago, and, you know, it was always our dream to sing about Jesus. And, you know, growing up on a small island, it was like, how is that ever possible? And our mother said, just believe in God, believe in your dreams. And 13 years ago when she passed away, even though in the loss of our best friend, God opened up the opportunity for us to live our dream.
And here you are 13 years later doing just that, isn't it? And how did you discover Jesus? Were you raised in a Christian home? You mentioned your brother's a pastor.
Our dad... when he came back from the Vietnam War, was an alcoholic and really messed up. And in Oceanside, California, at a small storefront church, he was invited by a relative to come. And with a lot of hesitancy, he came on that last night of a crusade meeting. And he was the only one who accepted the invitation to give his heart to the Lord. And ever since then, our family's been changed, and God has been so good.
You wrote a song titled Change. Is that the meaning of the song?
Yes, Change was inspired actually by a relative of ours, a young woman who knew about God but really had no relationship with Him. She was depressed and oppressed, but through a series of church meetings in Nashville, Tennessee, she was exposed to the Word of God. And in the span of a week, we literally saw how God took her life and changed it for the good.
Would you please give it up for the Katinas?
Ik vind ze indrukwekkend, die 5 broers, de Katinas, die op muziek hun geloof in woorden en daden omzetten. Nou, de man die nu te gast is bij Hour of Power... heeft dat zijn hele leven lang gedaan. Hij wordt Gods smokkelaar genoemd. En Anne van der Bijl, van harte welkom. Brother Andrew. Toen nog niemand dacht en toen Oost-Europa en Rusland afgesloten waren... en volstrekt atheïstische staten waren... en trots op waren dat er geen Bijbel te vinden was... toen ging jij met een auto vol gesmokkelde Bijbels naar die landen. Waarom?
Omdat daar geen Bijbels waren, dat had ik intussen uitgevonden. Er waren zelfs predikanten die geen Bijbel hadden... die zelfs in een hele kerk spraken waar niemand een Bijbel had. Dat vind ik onrechtvaardig. Wij lopen over van het aantal Bijbels, zij hebben niets. Dus dat moeten we gelijk trekken. Ja.
Je hele leven lang, en je bent nu?
75, niet verder vertellen.
Je levenslang zet je in voor christenen die verdrukt worden wereldwijd. Is het situatie beter?
Nee, dat was dat maar waar. Het is nu erger geworden. Toen het communisme in elkaar klapte, een deel althans, kwam daar meer vrijheid. Maar dat werd dan overgenomen door de groei, de dynamische groei van de moslimwereld, waar erg veel tegenstand is en erg veel vervolging het gevolg is van het zijn van de christenen daar, wat eigenlijk niet mag en waar ook weinig bijbels en weinig training en opleiding mogelijkheden beschikbaar zijn, waar mensen die echt tot de Jezus komen vanuit de moslimwereld niet alleen gevangen, maar vaak gedood worden. Dus daar zijn zoveel landen waar agressieve islam is, over de hele breedte van Afrika en heel Zuidoost-Afrika, Azië. En dan eigenlijk kan je zeggen van Indonesië tot aan Marokko, onafgebroken moslimlanden, met een steeds meer actief, agressief, fundamentalistisch regime. Maar het veel moeilijker wordt voor de christenen. Dus ons gebied breidt zich steeds uit en daar ben ik zo ontzettend druk bezig, juist in dat gebied.
Ja. Jij slaat de Bijbel elke dag open. We hebben vanmorgen gezien dat dominee Schurer begint ook altijd met een tekst uit de Bijbel. Waarom vind je die Bijbel zo belangrijk?
Omdat de Bijbel de enige mogelijkheid is om uit te vinden dat God ons lief heeft, dat er een uitweg is, dat onze zonden vergeven kunnen worden en dat we naar de hemel kunnen gaan als we sterven. Er is geen enkel boek in de wereld en geen enkele religie die dat te bieden heeft. Alleen de Bijbel. Dus dan zijn we toch altijd met de oplossing bezig als we met die Bijbel bezig zijn. Ja.
Anne, je kent dominee Schurer al heel lang. Ja. Je hebt ook een paar keer in de Crystal Cathedral gesproken en daar hebben we een stukje van. Dat wil ik graag even laten zien.
The body of Christ, that is our main concern. Secondly, the unreached. And maybe in the unreached, we should choose those that constitute a threat to world peace, to the church, that persecute because they have never heard of the love of Jesus. And I maintain, Bob, that people have not rejected Jesus. They have not been presented of Jesus. If they would know that Jesus, that we know from Scripture, from experience, they would accept him. So that is my prayer, that we would have a compassion for the lost, but particularly in those threatening places.
Geweldig om dat terug te zien, hè? Je was al een paar jaar jonger. Jij en dominee Schurer brengen samen diezelfde positieve boodschap van het evangelie.
Ik vind het altijd leuk als Bob Schurer zegt, God loves you, so do I. Maar dat weten ze ook. Ik kan ook altijd mijn armen slaan om een man die een machinegeweer heeft. Want dan denk ik, als ik dat doe, dan kan hij niet meer op me schieten. Want daar heb je afstand voor nodig. Ik geef hem geen afstand. En dan, dat is ontwapenend. En dan nemen ze mee je huis in en dan vraag je te spreken. En ik heb rijmoedig over Jezus en het kruis mogen spreken daar. Fantastisch open zijn ze. Maar je moet van ze houden en niet bang zijn en niet boos zijn en geen vijandsbeeld van ze vormen, want dan kan je niks meer doen.
Ook Schurer doet dat. Die gaat naar moslimlanden en spreekt daar in grote moskeeën. Dat wordt niet altijd begrepen, denk ik, dat de christen zich druk maakt om moslims.
Nee, helaas niet. En daar is nog een hele wijde kloof, ook in Nederland. En dat heeft mij heel veel zorgen gegeven. Ik probeer ook dat te overbruggen en christenen instructies te geven hoe ze dat kunnen overwinnen en toch bij het hart van een moslim kunnen komen.
Ja. Terug even naar ons eigen land. In dit uur van kracht klinkt ook de boodschap, wijd je leven toe aan God. Ja. Dat is positief. Wat vind je daarvan?
Ik vind het fantastisch dat er een programma is wat in de plaats kan komen van mensen die misschien niet in hun macht hebben om naar de kerk toe te gaan. Ik werk vanuit de zendingsvisie altijd naar velden, landen, volkenstammen die niet komen naar mijn kerk. Ik moet daar naartoe. Het zijn vergeten groepen. Maar miljoenen mensen zitten in de kamer die ook nergens heen kunnen. Het is toch fantastisch dat Bob Schurer zomaar even de kamer instapt en dan Jezus met ze deelt. Ik vind dat fantastisch.
Nou, Anne, hartelijk dank. Fijn dat je hier vanmorgen wilde zijn. Ik wens je heel veel zegen en sterkte toe bij het vele werk wat je met je team doet. En dat is wereldwijd. Ik heb hier de Possibility Thinkers Bijbel van dominee Schurer. Jij verzamelt bijbels. Hoeveel heb je er?
Nou, ik heb er in mijn kantoor nou ruim 1000 en dan heb ik nog bijna 1000 Wycliffe Bijbels.
Zo.
Ja. Dit is het enige boek. Ja. Ik wil ook de man van één boek zijn. Ja. Ik krijg nog steeds af en toe brieven, dit jaar ook weer, geadresseerd aan Anne van der Bijbel. Dan raken ze wat in de war met die van der Bijl naam. Anne van der Bijbel. Vind ik prachtig.
Ja. Anne, heel hartelijk dank dat je hier vanmorgen wilde zijn. Ik wens je heel veel sterkte, zegen toe bij dat onvermoeibare reizen door de wereld. Want je gaat binnenkort weer naar Pakistan en verder naar andere moslimlanden. Leeftijdgenoot van dominee Schuller. En beide mannen zetten zich onvermoeibaar in. En ik heb daar grote bewondering voor. En wij gaan weer terug naar de Crystal Cathedral.
Different ways. There's so many questions, but nobody had an answer for me. I could see the light, it's finally breaking through. The sun is rising, I can feel the warmth again. I've discovered my purpose, and all I want
been thinking about what happened last Sunday all week long. Bruce Wilkinson, when his message was just fantastic, wasn't it? Holy mackerel, talking about dreams. Oh, that was just an incredible message. And I pulled out an old message that I'd written a long time ago, back in 97 actually, and entitled Rebuilding Broken Dreams. I did a whole series on that topic of rebuilding broken dreams. It was on the life of Nehemiah. That's a real person who lived in historic times, in case you're wondering. In fact, there's a book in your Bible by that name. It says Nehemiah. If you go to Psalms and you go back three chapters, there you find this little book in the Old Testament, in the Bible, that's entitled Nehemiah. And it's named after none other than the star of the Nehemiah. And in there, he is a dreamer of dreams. I think about the dreams that I have, and you think about the dreams you have. You think about the things that God has called you to do, the purpose for which he created you. And you look at the dream that he gave Nehemiah, and you go, oh my gosh, it's impossible. Here is this man who's born a slave in Babylon 500 years before Christ is born. He has a dream of going to Jerusalem. That's a long ways from Babylon to Jerusalem. Babylon is in current day Iraq. Travel, Jerusalem to Babylon is about 1,000 miles, I think. And there he's going to go and he's going to rebuild the walls of the city. Unbelievable. Impossible. Couldn't happen in a million years. Unless God steps in and performs it and creates miracles. And so he prayed a prayer in the very first chapter, which is the foundation upon building dreams. Mountain-moving faith to build dreams, rebuild them, and to ignite them and to make them real. And here's what he prayed. The first thing he prayed was to recognize who God is. And I believe if we pattern our prayers after Nehemiah's prayers, we're going to see some incredible things take place. In fact, I want to challenge you right now. I want to challenge you to pray this way for the next 21 days. And then write me and tell me what incredible things have taken place in your life as a result of this prayer. And if nothing happens, write me and tell me that nothing happened. I am convinced that prayer works. And Nehemiah's prayer works incredibly well. The first thing Nehemiah does is begins his prayer by recognizing who God is. That's an important thing for us to do. What do you see as God? Who is he to you? And that's the way he starts it. He says, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. It's the first thing he does is recognize who God is. And that's so critically important for us. We need to recognize who God is. The God who controls the winds and the seas. And when I think of God, I think of action. I think of power. I think of movement. When I think of God, I think of a force, a power. And so I recognize God by what he has done. And I think if you look biblically, you see the same thing. The Bible always refers to the God who led the people out of Egypt to the promised land, the God who separated the dry lands from the waters. In the New Testament, you see Jesus Christ being described by Pilate and by Herod as, oh, the one who walks on the water, the one who raises the dead, the one who opens the blind, he makes the dumb speak, the lame walk. You recognize them. He is recognized by the miraculous things he does. And I think we have to remind ourselves that God has the power to do miraculous things. And so when we begin praying, we have to stop and look at the miraculous things God does. Recognize who God is. Second thing he does is he calls upon God to listen to him. Listen to it. He says, let your ear, O God, be attentive, and your eyes open to hear the prayer. Your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. We have to call upon God to listen. You know, I have four children, and most of them are pretty big right now. In fact, the baby is about as tall as I am. But when they were little, it was extremely important. Now that they're teens, it's even more important for me to get their attention when I want them to do something, like clean their room. Because the number one excuse is, oh, I didn't hear you. Anyone have kids? They know that excuse? You ever heard that excuse? Oh, I didn't hear you. Well, we need to tell God to listen. Not so that he gives attention to us, but so that we know that he is going to listen to us. Because prayer isn't to change God and to get him to do something for us. That's where people make the mistake. They think prayer is for God. Prayer isn't for God, it's for us. Because prayer doesn't change things for us. It changes us for things. And when we pray, it's not for God, it's for us. It's what it does to us psychologically, emotionally, physically. And suddenly we realize that it creates a bond between us and God. And we realize that that bond is there. And it's incredible what it does in changing our lives. First, begin by recognizing who God is. Then call upon him to listen. Then confess your failures, your sins, the things that are holding you back, that is causing guilt. This is how he says it. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and the laws you gave your servant Moses. And when we have burdens of guilt, whether we're guilty or not, we need to confess them to God, get them off our chest, and let the healing process begin. Friday night, I went and made a hospital call, and a young man, he's an employee here at this ministry. He works the night shift in the maintenance department. He gets off at 2:30 in the morning. He's 18 years old. He lives in Anaheim. His name is Jesus. And Jesus got off work 2:30, and he was going to take the bus like he normally does, but that day his stepfather said, Jesus, I'm going to pick you up. I don't want you taking the bus home tonight. So I'm going to pick you up. So his father picked him up at 2:30, and on the way home, his father fell asleep while he was driving the car. The car had veered off the road. It hit a truck, spun a couple times, and his stepfather was killed. His mother is in critical condition in the hospital. And Jesus thought he was fine until he fainted, and the doctors discovered he has a bruised liver and a bruised spleen, so they have to watch him very carefully. He has pain. But other than that, you wouldn't know there was anything wrong. When I saw him in the hospital, he had his hospital gown on, and he greeted me, and he pulled up the chair and said, here, have a seat. And so I sat down, and he told me the story, how he was sitting in the back, and his father was driving. And then he started to cry. And he broke down because he was carrying this incredible guilt. He was carrying the guilt, and he said, I killed my stepfather. If I would have taken the bus instead of letting him come and pick me up, he'd still be alive. And now I have to tell my brothers and sisters. They don't know what's going on, and they don't know what I've done. And he started crying, and tears rolled down his face and his cheeks. And after we cried together and we held each other, I said a prayer. I said, Dear God,
You're in the driver's seat. And we're in the passenger seat. And help us to remember that we're passengers. And that you're taking us to destinations that are going to be rewarding and fruitful and healing and hopeful. And after we prayed, you could see that a huge burden had been lifted from his shoulders. He had had a time to be able to unload and, as far as he was concerned, confess his sins, even though he really didn't do anything. But he was carrying the guilt. And what happens when we confess our sins is we get rid of that guilt and we get rid of the shame and we are brought back into the graces of God. Spiritually and emotionally and psychologically. So it's very important when we pray to confess our failures and sins to God. And then it's time for us to proclaim God's promises. He starts quoting God and he says, God, you said, if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. And he quotes God. And when we pray, we've got to learn some promises with which we can quote so that we can put God to his word and remind us of what God's promises are. Oh, God, you said if we ask, if we seek, and if we knock, the doors will be opened. You've promised that we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. You've promised us that as we give, it shall be given back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And you continue to quote the promises that God has given to us, as you do. Your mind, your heart, your soul will be strengthened. It will be reminded. It will be energized. You will get confidence. You will develop courage. And you will start doing things knowing that God is at your side that you never dreamed you would ever be able to do. It's amazing. The power of prayer. And Nehemiah continued to pray. And in his continuation of prayer, he affirmed his relationship with God. He said, they are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. I am your servant, Lord. We need to tell God we are his Christians. Now, what is a Christian? A woman was asked by a co-worker, what is it like to be a Christian? The co-worker replied, it's like being a pumpkin. God picks you from the patch, brings you in, and washes all the dirt off of you. Then he cuts off the top and scoops out all the yucky stuff. He removes the seeds of doubt, hate, greed, etc. And then he carves you a new smiling face and puts his light inside of you to shine for all the world to see. That's what we are, as children of God. We are that pumpkin that shines in the darkness with a smile on our face because God is alive. Two men crashed. They're on their private plane. Crashed on a deserted island in the South Pacific. Didn't know what to do. One gentleman just sat back and relaxed. The other one went running clear around the island, trying to find some substance and means for them to survive. He runs all the way around, finally gets back, and he sees the gentleman who is leaning back. He shakes him. He says, you've got to realize there's no food, there's no water, there's nothing. We're going to die. The guy goes, we're not going to die. I make $250,000 a week. The guy goes, are you
dumb? You can't buy anything on this island. I've gone all over this island. There is nothing here. We're going to die. And he's bad. And he goes, no, we're not. I make $250,000 a week. He goes, what's the matter with you? There is nothing on this island. He goes, I know, but I make $250,000 a week. I tithe and my pastor will find us. When you know who you are, and you tithe, your relationship with God is incredible. And the next thing Nehemiah did was to affirm his relationship with God. He says, we are your servant and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. And so when you pray, tell God, I am one of your people. I am your chosen. I tithe. Remind them. Remind yourself the blessings that tithers give. Bring your tithes to the storehouse and put me to the test, says the Lord God. And see if I will not pour out such a blessing upon you that your storehouses will not be able to contain it. And for those of you who don't understand tithing, tithing is giving 10% of our income to the church in an act of faith, knowing that it is impossible to outgive God, and proving to ourselves and to God that he's a lot more important than a few dollar bills. And so we affirm our relationship with God. And not until you've taken those first five steps do you finally get to the punch that most of us go to right away. And that's the petition, where you finally ask God to help you to succeed. So after several paragraphs in this prayer, he finally gets to the last sentence and he says, give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of the king. And so this slave, Nehemiah, having said this prayer, goes and asks the king to send him to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of his ancestors and to restore dignity to his home. And the king said, okay. What happens when we pray? It's amazing. Absolutely amazing how impossible things become possible. And dreams are revealed. And through our faith, mountains start to move. Dear God, we thank you for what you're doing today, for the prayers you're answering right now, for the directions, the guidance, the hope, the future that you're developing. So help us to pray, O Lord, the Nehemiah prayer. And may we see the reality of your goodness and your power. Amen.
Next week, we're going to have a tremendous story. It's a mother and son. Her name is Lisa and Tyler Sexton. They're going to be sharing their amazing story of a mother's heart and a son's determination to overcome cerebral palsy. We also have Jackie Vasquez, award-winning contemporary Christian artist and actress, and she'll return to sing for us from her new CD, and that's next week. So make sure you come next week. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
Inspireert om al deze mensen te zien in Hour of Power en wat het evangelie en de boodschap van liefde van Jezus Christus betekent en hoe ze dat invulling geven in hun leven. En dat wens ik ook iedere kijker toe. Hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken naar Hour of Power. Op onze website kunt u de preek nalezen, www.hourofpower.nl. En wij zeggen graag tot volgende week, een goede zondag en een fijne werkweek.